The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed in the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Welcome to our show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Each week, Heidi and I invite you to join us and our inspirational guests as we discuss stories of hope, loss, and recovery. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation with a mission to promote healing after loss. And we invite you to join us, our Open to Hope family, by visiting our websites, blogs, and YouTube channel, where you'll find inspirational articles, poetry, and grieving tips for you on your journey of hope, loss, and recovery. You won't be able to call into the show today because it's a pre-record, but these shows are all archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites, and all shows can be downloaded on iTunes. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
Let's see, it's noon in New York, right?
Yep, it's 12 noon, lunchtime.
Well, the reason we're pre-recording the show this week is because I'll actually be in New York at the Compassionate Friends board meeting because I'm on the national board.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you next week, and hopefully it'll be better weather than today because we have amazing amounts of snow coming down right now as I speak, and we're supposed to have the snow for the next couple of days.
So, oh, wow. And I'm here in San Francisco. It's probably 60 today and beautiful. And our studio being recorded by Randy now, I assume. And we're in Arizona. So, and our guest, we're going to ask, why don't you introduce Sherry and we'll talk about where she is.
Okay. Well, as you said, Mom, our guest today, our first guest is going to be Sherry Van Pelt. And we're going to talk to Sherry about losing grandchildren. Sherry Van Pelt has lost two grandchildren, Connor, who is stillborn, and Connor's sister, JC, who 2 years later was born with a heart defect and did not survive surgery. She is the author of Dear Connor, A Grandmother's Pain. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you.
Hi, Sherry. It's great to have you on the show. Now, where are you located?
I'm located in Marshalltown, Iowa, and I just wanted to say we have 60 inches of snow, so I know what Heidi's going through.
Did you say 60? Wait, did you say 60?
60, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So far this year, yes.
Okay, I will never complain again in Manhattan. We think 10 inches is, like, horrible.
Well, Sherry, this is such an important book that you've written. I was telling Heidi about it today. The thing about it is that, you know, we get little snippets of grandparent information here and there. And by the way, Sherry is one of our authors. And so you'll be able to go to our website after the show and read an article she wrote about her daughter. So just to say that. But there are articles and things, but I don't know if I've really run across such a comprehensive book of a grandmother describing the experience of going through the loss of a grandchild. It's really a pretty important thing you've written here, Sherry.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, first of all, your journey and what happened. You have one grandson, right, who's Connor, who is, how old is he now?
Cole. Yes. He is 18, and then I have another granddaughter who is 12, which would be Cole's sister, and then I have another grandson who is now 6.
So this whole journey for you started when Cole was how old?
He was just 2 at the time.
He was 2 years old. Because mm-hmm. he plays a lot into this this book, and you talk about him and his response, which I think is a really important piece of this book too, because I think grandparents think of their other grandchildren and you know how to deal with their responses, and you talk about how you talk to him and some of the verbiage, which I think is a really an important contribution that you've done in this book. But this is kind of a journal. It's where you're talking to Connor. And tell us about Connor's death. He was a full-term baby. And
yes, he was. The whole pregnancy was very normal. I mean, my daughter Michelle, you know, was going to the doctor and doing everything she should be doing, taking her vitamins, and, you know, everything was on target. And she came. They had sold their home. They put their home on the market in three. It sold within 3 days, so they had nowhere to go. So they were living in our home at the time. And she woke me up one night and said she was going to the hospital, and it was a week before she was due, which I was ecstatic about. And so they went to the hospital, and about an hour later, her husband called me and asked me if I could please come to the hospital. And for some reason, I just got this terrible grip in my stomach that something was wrong. And my husband told me, oh, everything will be fine. But I just knew within me something was terribly, terribly wrong. And I cried all the way to the hospital and just asked God why he was taking this child away from us. And I couldn't understand why. And when I got to the hospital, my son-in-law was standing in the room waiting for my daughter to get out of surgery. And I asked why he wasn't in the labor room with her. And he said, I was, but then they told me to leave. And the reason I now know was because they knew that the baby was already gone. Mm-hmm. And so we still to this day do not know what happened to the baby that he did not, you know, they keep telling us that they simply did not get him out in time.
Wow.
And it was a very hard thing to accept.
Yeah, I can imagine, because he was this perfect little baby and you all held him, and, you know, hard to understand.
Yes, it was. I mean, when the doctor came in, I mean, he was just as sad as the rest of the family, and he too was just speechless and kept saying to us, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And when he finally said to us, would you like to go see the baby, you know, for an instant I was just like, oh, I was just dreaming, this was just a nightmare, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, let me go see the baby. And when we went to go see him in the little bassinet, you know, he just looked so perfect and like he was just sleeping, and I just wanted to wake him up, you know. And when his daddy just picked him up and held him and just wept over him, it just broke my heart, you know. And as a grandmother and as a mother-in-law, and I'm very close to my son-in-law, I just wanted to hold him as tight as I could, because I was so burdened for him. And my daughter, she did not know this yet because she was still under anesthetic. And I thought, oh, my goodness, we still have to wait for her to come out of that and be told this horrible, horrible news that her son had died. And so, you know, we just huddled together, the three of us, and I had to make the phone calls to tell the rest of the family what had happened.
And Sherry, I think that's the hard part about being a grandparent, I imagine, is not only are you dealing with your own grief, but you're also thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to take care of my children, and it's so painful for me to see what they're going through.
Yes, that is really the hard part. It's, you want to take your child, and you just wish you could take them back to when they're 3 years old and just kiss that boo-boo and, you know, put a big old Band-Aid on it and tell them to go on their merry way. But that's not going to happen, because they are now a parent, and they're hurting so bad inside. And I don't care what you say or what you do, it's not going to make that pain go away at that moment. You know, it just hurts.
Right, because
so
it's not going to bring Connor. It's not going to bring Connor back.
No, it was not going to bring Connor back. There was nothing I could say or do at that moment.
And then your daughter went on to have some miscarriages, which you talk about in the book and your feeling about that. And then she went on to have a baby. What, 2 years later?
2 years later, yes. And once again, everything went fine. We had she had everything checked out fine. The pregnancy was fine. At one point, she called me and said she was having a little bit of trouble, and so we immediately went and checked it out. But everything checked out. Her heartbeat was real good. Michelle was fine, and so we went home, and we were fine with it. You know, of course, it brought a little bit of fear into our family right away, but she, you know, everything was fine, and all we prayed for at that point was that the baby would be born alive, and she was.
Mm-hmm. And then she went into...
And then she was born, but they said this time to make sure that she was born alive and everything went fine at birth, they decided to do a C-section. So she was born January 25th at 8:30 a.m. But she never came out from underneath the oxygen, and as time went along, I myself just kept getting more and more worried. I didn't say anything to anybody, but I was just more and more concerned about what was going on, you know, because it just didn't seem right. And it just seemed like every time she cried, she got very blue, and that really, really concerned me.
So she actually went home and everything?
Nope, she never went home.
She never went home.
No, about 10 hours later, I walked in on a nurse's conversation with a doctor, and I heard her say something to the effect of the doctor that something that did not seem right. So I confronted the nurse and said, please be straight with me. Is there something wrong with my granddaughter? And she says, to be straight with you, yes, I feel there is something wrong. And so the doctor came back in, and they did a CT scan on her, and they found a heart defect. Well, once again, we were in a very major, major snowstorm that night, and they were supposed to bring in a special helicopter to fly little JC into another major city, which was Des Moines, Iowa, here. But because of the snowstorm, they had to bring in a special ambulance, so it took him, which should have taken him only 30 minutes, it took about an hour and a half to get to our town. And they got her to Des Moines, and our family followed the next day. And the doctors assured us that it was a surgery that could be done, and they had done six others just like hers, and all six children were healthy and doing well, and they just wanted JC to give her 5 days to get a little older, to get a little stronger, and she would be fine.
Mm-hmm. And then she died in the operating room, right?
Yes, 5 days later, they took her into the operating room, and she did not survive.
Wow, what a shock for you and your family. And we're going to have to go to break in a minute. When we come back from break, what I want to talk to you now, we've kind of, you know, seen all the trauma, and you have been very strong through all this, and I want to talk about that grandmother's role and what you suggest to other grandmothers out there and how you identify with their experience, because your book is so important, and I hope any grandmother who's lost a grandchild will get Dear Connor, A Grandmother's Pain, because you really stop at those points. Talk about anniversaries and all those things that grandmothers, parents have trouble with, but grandmothers do too. But I think they get a little bit disenfranchised, so it may be a lot. So let's talk about that when we come back from a break.
Okay.
I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart. Remember, you can reach us through the Open to Hope website as well as thegriefblog.com. Sign up for our Facebook and for our newsletter. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness. Have you lost a loved one and are wondering where to turn? Feeling overwhelmed by your grief? Join the thousands of people who have found hope and comfort as a part of the Open to Hope online community. It's free, it's safe, it will lighten your burden. Just type in opentohope.com and join our circle of support. Open to Hope is a charitable foundation. All donations are tax deductible.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us today, we are talking about losing grandchildren with Sherry Van Pelt, author of Dear Connor, A Grandmother's Pain. Welcome back, Sherry and Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, when we went to break, we said that we were going to talk a little bit about some of the maybe crucial points for grandmothers. But before we do that, I want to have Sherry give us her website.
My website is www.dearconnor.com, and Connor is spelled C-O-N-N-E-R.
And Connor is her a little guy that passed away in 1994, and she has written the book as kind of a little journal to him and talking to him. Is that what you'd call it, Sherry?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And it's a great read, and as I said, it's she talks about so many points. But tell us, as a grandmother, okay, we've talked about the fact that you're not only grieving for yourself, but you're also grieving for your children. And also, I know that, and I think you, like a lot of other grandparents, had to take a proactive role. You really kind of had to stay strong, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I mean, you have to stay strong for your children, and I had to stay strong for the one grandchild I had at the time because he had a lot of questions at the time. He was 2.5 years old, and he would ask such questions as, can we build a ladder tall enough now to go get my brother because God's had him long enough? Or aren't God's beds full enough now, you know? And his parents were just so broken up at the time. They just weren't able to answer some of those questions. And so I would try to answer some of those questions the best that I could. And, you know, but also at the same time, I had to grieve myself. I had to take my own time to grieve because that is very, very important. I know with my second one, when we lost our second child, I did not take as much time to grieve for myself. I sort of pushed it out of the way. And
this was when JC died 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was not good because later that kind of came back to hurt me because I kind of put myself in denial that we lost the second one, and you cannot do that. You have to grieve. You have to go through a grieving process. And, you know, you have to be strong for your children. You have to help them through as much as possible, but you also have to give yourself time to grieve, too.
Yeah, and I just wanted to visit what Sherry said about Connor, because I so see that in children, like they have the, you know, the questions they ask and the understanding they have. They get so confused. I remember when Alexander was 6, my son, and I had had a couple of miscarriages and had decided to go to China and adopt my daughter, and I heard him with his friend saying to his friend, he said, Isaac, God only put one baby in my mommy's tummy that lived, and that was me. So now we have to go to China to get my sister before somebody else gets her.
he had this whole belief system, and it's interesting. The kids need to have questions answered, and it was so great that you were there for Connor while he was asking all these really wonderful questions.
Yes, yes.
And it's over years, too. It's not just like 1 year. I mean,
No. I remember when his sister, Sydney, was born, he did ask me.
And she survived and is old now.
Yes, he says, are we going to get to keep her, you know? And, you know, it's a really hard question after a family has gone through what we've gone through, you know, and I said, yes, we are, but, you know, in the back of your head, you wonder what, you know, you want to have the faith that, yes, you will, but... He hung on to that little girl with all of his might and with all of his heart when she was born. So,
yeah. That's sweet. So tell us, I know you're a religious person. How has your religion helped you with this?
Well, with my faith, I don't think I could have gotten through the two infant deaths and the two miscarriages my family went through without that, because at one point I did, in my book, and I share that too, I did question my faith and I did question God, because I was wondering why God was taking all these children from us. And then at one point I even blamed myself. I don't know why, but I thought maybe I had done something wrong in my life, that God was punishing me. And in reading different blogs and in reading different things on the internet from people, I see that other people do the same thing. They think God is punishing them for something maybe they've done in their lifetime, and so God takes their children away from them. But that is not how it works. Unfortunately, this is life, and sometimes that's just how life goes, you know, and bad things happen, and sometimes we have to lose children, and I don't understand why. And, you know, that's one thing I'll ask God someday when I get to heaven. But, you know, I had to do a lot of praying. I had to do a lot of soul searching. I had to read my Bible a lot, you know, and I had to find my peace and I had to find my joy again in order to get through all of this.
Now, do you feel that grandparents, other grandparents that you talk to, do you feel like they feel like they get enough recognition, you know, or that they give themselves enough? You know, do you think that they give themselves time and grandparents, or they don't? What's your thought on that? I know you live by your daughter. One of the issues about this world now is that sometimes people don't know their grandchildren that well.
Right. Well, I'm one of the very fortunate people that live very close to my three grandchildren, so I get to know my grandchildren. I see my grandchildren every day, so I am very fortunate in that way. So I get, you know, I'm very, very blessed in that way. And so I know my children intimately, and I'm very happy with that.
You know, one of the things I want to mention to our audience out there is Compassionate Friends is for grandparents also. And we have a grandparent on our board who is a bereaved grandparent, and we try to have things going on for grandparents. So there is recognition through Compassionate Friends about grandparents.
Right. I have spoke for some Compassionate Friend groups, and it, you know, it is interesting in meeting how different people from different walks of life and how they feel. And we all have our own grief, and grief hurts no matter how old you are or what walks of life you come from. To me, the first year was always the hardest. It was because you have your first birthdays, your first Christmases, you know, and it was really hard to get through those first years.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do specifically for anniversary? Do you have anything that you personally do?
For what?
As a ritual or anything for anniversary times? Or I know you write, I think writing your book is one of the things that you sit down and write it, right?
Yes. Well, like, you mean for like Christmases and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, the first Christmas, I mean, after Connor died, I really don't remember a whole lot about it. I think because we had coal, we went ahead and had a Christmas. But to be very honest with you, I don't remember a whole lot about it. I think we just sort of walked through it and just had it for him, you know, mm-hmm. because it was 8 months after Connor died, and we had it for him because... Well, just because it was.
We talk a lot about that on the show. When parents say, you know, we don't want to do this, we say we know it's hard, but you have to, like you said, go on for your other kids. You kind of have to put it, you know, think about
right.
the other kids, and they want these things to
yes.
go on.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that grandparents do, too, you know,
right,
keep it
right.
stable. And yes. and also, Heidi and I talk about the fact that grandparents give the history to the children. I imagine even though Cole, what, is 18, and how old is his sister?
12.
And so she never really knew, you know, she wasn't in on the
no.
other things as much. But you keep that story for them, right?
Right, right. And they know all about it, and we have pictures of the two, you know, and they ask questions about it, and they usually ask me questions about it and want to know about them, you know. And I know one time my little Sydney, who's 12, got rather upset one day when she came home from school because they were supposed to write down how many people they had in their family.
Oh.
And she wrote down that she had two brothers and one sister. And the teacher told her that was not right. She only had one brother. And she says, no, I have two brothers and one sister. And the teacher argued with her. And she was crying when she got in the car. And she says, I have two brothers and I have one sister, don't I, Grandma? And I said, yes, you do. And, I mean, she was acknowledging that she still has JC and Connor. And I said,
that's
yes,
wonderful.
They will always be a part of our family. And, you know, I don't know why that teacher wasn't letting her acknowledge that. But the teacher said no, because they weren't here with their family anymore. She couldn't count them. But, you know, that just shouldn't be. They need to let the children acknowledge you know, even though they're gone from your family physically, they're still here within our hearts.
Absolutely. They're always our brothers and sisters and our grandchildren and our children.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I
think one of the issues with that is sometimes people haven't acknowledged their own losses, so they don't want to think about them as if it's part of her family, it has to be part of theirs.
Or maybe not had any experience with their own losses.
Yeah, it could be either way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I had to deal with a person like that one time who had never, ever dealt with he was over 50 years old, and he never dealt with a loss in his lifetime. So when I came back from, this would have been after JC's funeral, I mean, came back to work, he just looked at me and said, well, is everything all better now? And I just sort of looked at him and said, well, no, not really, you know. But he didn't know what else to say because he didn't know how to handle it. And you have to accept facts like that. You have to accept facts sometimes that people don't know what to say to you, and they're trying to say something to you, but they don't know what to say. And you can't get angry at people like that. You just have to accept what they're saying to you, and say thank you and move on. You know, it's. You know, sometimes people know what to say and sometimes people don't.
So I think it's so great that you're giving grandparents a voice, don't you, Heidi?
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
It's really great, and I would suggest that you get this book, Dear Connor, A Grandmother's Pain, and go to Sherry Van Pelt's website. And Sherry, you go around and speak, right?
Right, right.
So if you have an organization that you need a speaker for, I'm sure Sherry would be interested in doing that. And I think the advocacy for grandparents is amazing, and I really appreciate the work you're doing, Sherry.
Thank you.
And
Sherry.
Do you have any last piece of advice for our audience out there, for grandparents who have lost someone?
Well, just remember to just love your children with all their might and, you know, just do whatever you can to help them through the loss, because the loss is tremendous. You know, whatever you do for them, just love them.
And take care of yourself, too,
and
right?
And take care of yourself, too, because don't forget to grieve for yourself too, because you've had a loss also. That's the main thing also.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
So please stay tuned for more of Healing the Grieving Heart. We're going to be talking in our next segment about spirituality and grief with Mary Louise Chavon, and she's president of Ahana Enterprises. You can reach us through thegriefblog.com as well as the Hope to Help website. Please stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, this is Dr. Heidi Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. Have you lost meaning and purpose in your life since your loved one died? Does each day feel like an effort? You do not have to go through this difficult time alone. As a bereaved sibling and licensed psychologist with over 15 years' experience, I will work with you in a collaborative, supportive way. If you live in the New York tri-state area, you can contact me at 917-338-6396 or email me at drheidihorsley@gmail.com. That's drheidihorsley@gmail.com. To learn more about my private practice, visit my website at www.drheidihorsley.com. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, which also offers you a free monthly e-newsletter containing current articles, book and movie reviews, as well as podcast schedules. Just go to opentohope.com, click on newsletter, and receive your monthly newsletter filled with hope and support. Open to Hope is a charitable foundation. All donations are tax deductible.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. On our next segment, we will be talking about spirituality and grief, and our guest is going to be Mary Louise Chavon. Mary Louise is president of Ahana Enterprises. She is an accomplished teacher and practitioner in all aspects of metaphysics and spirituality. She is a master instructor in both Reiki healing and the Adamantine healing system, and is a bachelor's in psychology. Welcome to the show, Mary Louise.
Thank you, Dr. Heidi, Dr. Gloria. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you on the show, Mary Louise.
Thank
well,
you.
We know Heidi and I were talking about it earlier. There are a lot of people that are interested in spirituality and grief, and I know that's an area that you've been interested in. What prompted your interest in this area?
Well, I started my journey into looking into spirit at a young age. I had gone into psychology, and I was finding that I was understanding that there was something more, and it was really what I would call now our soul energy. And
that you would call what energy? I didn't.
Our soul energy.
Oh, our soul energy.
Not just our psychology.
Uh-huh.
And I had, you know, during my lifetime, I had lost people early, grandparents, cousins. Grandparents, cousins, aunts, and uncles who we would consider have left early than we would expect it. And I always had this feeling inside that there was more. I had spiritual experiences at a very young age that told me that that was true. And as I continued, when I got into my 20s, I started meditating and looking into my own spiritual life. And I examined many aspects of it, and I began to grow. And within the last couple of years, I really started understanding the nature of our souls, that our souls are not just contained within our physical bodies, that our souls are massive and expansive and having multiple experiences. And the more that I tuned into that, the more I was able to touch into my own soul and to have conversations on that deeper level. A couple of years ago, I began to channel, and realizing that I could speak to not only my soul on a soul level and understand what my own personal journey was, but that I could actually speak with the souls of other people, both in this body and who had crossed over. And that opens up a whole new realm of understanding that there truly is a life after death, there truly is the spirit going on, and that everyone really is connected by one force, and all we have to do is put our attention to it, and we can communicate with them.
Mm-hmm. And so you've gotten off into that area, and you've also developed some kind of, I don't want to call it a game, a tool, a tool, right?
Yes, that's true. I learned a technique from a wonderful woman named Sally Baldwin of channeling, and I went on to create a kit so that other people could have this experience themselves. And it actually was used quite successfully with some women from the Compassionate Friends organization, and I'm very proud to have to continue my support with them and letting them have this available to them. For people who do want to explore their own beliefs of life after death.
What I like about your comment there is for people who want to explore their own consciousness and their own feelings about it. One of the problems, and Heidi and I were talking about this earlier, one of the problems that concerns me, frankly, is I like the idea of people exploring their own. Sometimes I feel like people get a little desperate to go out and have somebody else tell them something mm-hmm. that they don't find within themselves. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. I don't think there's anything wrong with finding someone else, but I am a very big believer in having our own experiences and empowering people with tools and techniques so they can find answers themselves. It is wonderful when we can read books that inspire us and comfort us of other people's experiences, but until we experience it ourselves, we really don't know, and then we're just acting on faith. And, you know, listening to your guest before, when someone leaves us in any way, it is devastating, and we have to grieve and we have to deal with our day-to-day experience. But on top of that, when someone crosses over early, we have to examine within ourselves, you know, questions like where are they, what happened, and even people who have the most religious background and they're so sure of what life is after death until they experience it, they can have their faith shaken. And so when I created my company, it was with the intention to create tools and techniques and teaching methods that help people have their own experience. Because when you tune into your own intuition, when you know that you are communicating with the other side in a very easy way and that anybody can do, nobody can take that experience away from you. And then it's a matter between you and your spirit, you and God, whatever word that comforts you, and it is a precious experience.
So how would you suggest that if I were interested in, you know, making some kind of a connection or whatever, what would you suggest the most basic thing that I would do?
Well, what I teach in my kit is something called conscious interactive channeling, and it's there are tools that come with it. It's a pendulum, which is a crystal on the end of a chain, and a letter wheel, and it simply is a matter of focusing. And the tool itself acts like a universal translator, sort of like on Star Trek. Whenever Captain Kirk lands on a planet, everybody speaks English. Well, not everybody's speaking English. It's just that they have what they call a universal translator. And what we have inside of us is a universal translator, meaning we have the ability to calm our minds and focus and sense with our intuition or intuit the impulses of other people.
Okay, now let me ask you the thing that comes up for me basically right now when you say that is calm our minds. I will tell you, you know, after you've had a profound loss, the monkey mind, the mind going all over the place is really, you know, crazy. So how would you suggest I center to begin with?
Well, certainly a basic meditation technique, although I do understand the jumping around of the monkey mind. Sometimes just actually going through the motions of a basic meditation, even if you cannot get yourself completely calm, the act and the intention of doing it actually does change the vibration and help you to get into that place. So if you were to say your prayer, I give some examples in the book that comes with my kit, but just simply saying, you know, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, and whatever angels that you feel comfortable with or whatever you feel comfortable
whatever
with.
Whatever your background is, yeah.
Right, finding whatever your
that.
Background is. You know, bless me and guide me. Please give me comfort and please help me to still my mind and to connect and to be surrounded by light. That's very basic. But I do know that the actual intention of doing such things actually does manifest a change, even if your mind is still jumping around.
Yeah, certainly we know that we can change chemicals in our body. I mean, I think we're a lot more in control of the chemicals of our body than we even realize, because as Heidi always says, if Scott walked into the room or if your loved one walked into the room, how would you be? You know, if you saw them, you know, if they hadn't died, and mm-hmm. and after they die, you're, you know, knowing they're gone. So, you know, our mind is, you know, controlling all these hormones in our body. So trying to focus and trying to get into that spot.
And putting out the intention of what you want to do, just putting it out in the universe like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen many people try this technique, people who have what you would call intuitive abilities, and people who do not, people who just on the street, you know, just walking by saying, hey, what are you doing, as we were demonstrating this technique, and just pick it up and were able to do it. And what I see, it's almost like biofeedback, because what you're doing is you're simply going through five easy steps to start intuiting, using your own natural intuition. We all have intuition. We know we use that word a lot with mother's intuition or women's intuition, but everyone has it. It's what tells you to turn left at a stop sign instead of right to avoid an accident. We all know what those hunches are, and this is just teaching us where that vibration is inside of us that we can connect with, and it's very, very easy. The reason I say it's like biofeedback is because you're holding the pendulum, and you're just asking a question. And at first, you may just ask, you know, show me what is yes, and you're going to get an indication of what's yes or no, and let the pendulum move. You don't have to have any certain belief system. You don't have to particularly even know what it is that you're doing, but the pendulum will begin to move. And this is your own energy. There's nothing magic about it. There's nothing to be frightened about. It is your own energy moving through your body and working with the pendulum. Eventually, you end up being able to move it towards where you're getting letters, and it's telling you what, giving you answers and spelling out answers to your questions. But eventually, the pendulum will swing in a circle, and it's not spelling out anything, but suddenly thoughts and phrases are coming to your mind, and you realize you are having a conversation with someone on the other side, or someone, you can even speak to the soul of someone who's in physicality. And then you realize that there's something more going on here, that I'm not just contained in my body, that there's energy all around us, and somehow we are all connected, and that we can tap into that very easily. So this is just a tool to help you learn how to tap into that. Once you do, in terms of a grieving process, it puts pain into understanding. You can ask questions. You know, why did you leave? What was it that transpired that caused the situation? And if you get answers, and the answers almost always are that this was planned beforehand, that this was something that we had agreed upon. And when you start getting answers like that, and it's not someone else telling you, it's you are feeling it, intuiting it, your whole energy just lifts, and it starts to, you know, replace the pain and the grief with understanding, and that really allows the healing process.
You know, Heidi and I were talking earlier about that we have known, and, you know, there are a lot of people that swear by what you're talking about, you know, and finding mm-hmm. this energy, the other side, and even channeling or psychic or whatever, and they swear by it and have been helped, and we receive emails and talk to people all the time that say that. However, after we come back from break, I want to talk a little bit about the idea also that I think what people really want to know initially spiritually, particularly the bereaved, is that they're okay. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that a little bit. And is there any downside to this? What if someone tells you they're not okay? So we'll talk about it when we come back from break. We're talking about spirituality and grief with Mary Louise Chavon. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Please sign up for our Facebook, for our newsletter, and remember that all of these shows are archived on thegriefblog.com. Stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Whether you are a new or frequent listener to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi's podcasts, the Horsleys value your connection. We invite you to join our Facebook and Twitter circles of support. We'll keep you up to date about Open to Hope Foundation events, new podcasts, and YouTube spots. Just go to Facebook or Twitter and search for Open to Hope. Open to Hope is a charitable foundation. All donations are tax deductible.
Hello, I'm Eric Kipple, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichipple.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you that are just joining us today, we are talking about spirituality and grieving with Mary Louise Chavon, president of Ahana Enterprises. Welcome back to the show, Mary Louise and Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, we're going to get into the skepticism a little bit here because we know that it's out there and what it is. And so I'm somebody who wants to know that my loved one is safe. And that's, you know, and that seems to be a lot. Isn't that your experience, Heidi, that seems to be a lot
yes,
of what people
I,
want?
Yes, the people I know and the question I would have had and the people that I know that have done this have actually found it very soothing. And the reason they have is because the psychics they were with reassured them that their siblings and their children were in a better place and were fine and were not suffering anymore and were not in any pain. And they really needed that message.
So that's an, you know, that one message that people want to know, and they seem to get a lot of comfort from that. But what about the other idea? What about the charlatans out there? Is there a fear that people will be charging money and take advantage?
Well, there are always people out there that do that. I have not personally run into anybody in my career, in my lifetime, who has, because it's not my intention and it's not the work that I do. But I understand that there are, and I have heard some people tell stories about that. I would say that, first of all, any kind of intuitive work, whether you're a medium, a psychic, whatever word you want to put on it, the information that comes through is only as good as the channel, the person that it's coming through. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you may have someone who has every intention of being in good faith, But they may not be as strong of a channel. They may not have as clear information as, say, somebody else that you go to. And also, we have free will, and we can change our future and change the possibilities that are in front of us, all the potentials that lay in front of us. Our free will changes which way we go with things. So there are times when people go to a psychic and they're told one thing, and then in 2 months it does not come to fruition. And that doesn't mean that necessarily the person was a charlatan or was not good. It could be that the circumstances that of everyone involved changed it. In terms of talking to someone about a loved one who has crossed over, I've never heard anybody tell anyone that they were not okay. I'm not saying that they didn't. It's just not my experience. I think that if it's your intention to really sincerely find hope and relief for your situation, and you put it up to God and the angels, you will be guided to the right person. And there are many people who can tap into the other side. Some are stronger than others, and some are able to intuit better than others. And I would say that if you do meet with someone and they give you that information that your loved one is okay, take it as being truth. If you want to go further and find out for yourself, you have means to do that as well, to be able to connect with the other side and feel it for yourself. When you're actually speaking with someone or intuiting someone, you feel them around, and no one can tell you. It's an undeniable feeling, and I believe on your show you've discussed with other guests about seeing signs, you know, butterflies, seeing birds, seeing things, and no one can tell you. When you have that experience, no one can tell you that's not happening. You just know that it is. Well, it's the same thing with this. If you are actually with your intention to connect with your loved one on the other side, and they come through and they say, I am so-and-so, and they may even say something that's a private joke between you. You know, if you go to a medium and they tell you something that only the other person would have known, you say, okay, that's confirmation. If you find it yourself when you're intuiting and they tell you something that was not even on your mind necessarily, or was not necessarily something that you were thinking that person would tell you, it kind of gives you chills. You say, oh, my goodness, this really is him, or this really is her.
And Mary Louise, I work with a lot of 9/11 families, and it has been a huge amount have gone to mediums, and it's been some of them have only gone once, but it has been so healing in that one time, and they had so much confirmation about that the person that they love was at peace, that it really helped them.
You know, I think it depends on different personalities, too, because in the receiving line, you know, at the funeral home for my husband, this woman came up to me, and she is somebody that I know, you know, had a lot of psychic kind of energy. And she said to me, I saw Scott. He appeared to me, and he wants you to know he's all right. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know what? If he's going to appear to anybody, it's going to be me, and I know he's all right. So, I resented it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a sticky wick, because when you want to reach out to people, and just like you were saying earlier, when it's really hard to know what to say to someone who has experienced a loved one crossing over, you don't know what to say. You want to be compassionate. And if you have a very strong belief system and you say something like they're in a better place, even if the person receiving that believes it, it just doesn't seem like enough. It just doesn't seem enough. And when other people say, I've talked to them and they're okay, you know, to some people, like you said, that might be a comfort, and to other people, it's
annoying.
It's annoying and resented, and you need to be in your space of grief, and you need in your space of sorting it out. And, you know, as I said earlier, even if you have all the faith and understanding, even if you do the work that I do and you understand that the soul goes on, you still need time to adjust to your physical situation that is definitely changed.
And there's some points in your life that even if you know the soul goes on, who cares? I want him here right now.
Well, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you on that. And so, as I said, we have two things to work out. We have to work out our day-to-day physicality, but if we have these questions running around inside of us that challenge our faith, that challenge our communication with God and everything that we thought we knew up to now, there's a separate way to deal with that. And
I have to say, I think it's a lot more interesting to do it on your own. And, you know, I'm interested in your classes, your teaching, and what you're doing. So tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I teach. I have the kit that has all this information that we're discussing, and there's a booklet that comes with it. I also teach classes on.
And that's online. You got it. Yeah. Tell them how to look at that.
Okay. You can go to my website, and it's www.ahanaenterprises.com, and that's Ahana is spelled A-H-A-N as in Nancy A. You can also go to IsisChannelingKit.com. But on there is the kit and the information, and there's also information on how you can reach me at info@ahanaenterprises. And what I do is I teach classes on how to use the kit and take you through the techniques. I can do them all over the phone as well as in person, working on doing on some online also. And then I also teach Reiki, and I also teach the Adamantine Healing System, which is a, I call it Reiki on steroids. It's just, it's a beautiful system that if you are already a healer, will complement your healing technique. If you've never done any healing, it will amazingly help you to manifest. In a nutshell, you're working with the smallest particles of creation, and you turn into a manifestation, a magnet for manifestation. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. So everything that I do is to give people the opportunity to experience healing and their own spirituality, because I think that's what's important. Ultimately, when we feel that, then we realize that we are all connected, and when we realize that, then we send a message to each other, we send a message to the earth, and everything becomes a much gentler and kinder existence.
Well, that's a wonderful goal, for sure. And I, you know, my I'm you know, quite a ways out of my loss. 26 years, Heidi?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding.
I
must say, I thought your kit looked pretty fun too.
Oh, great! Well, I'll be happy to work with you on it.
I don't know if you know Carolyn Mace.
Excuse me?
Do you know who Carolyn Mace is? I used to teach for Carolyn.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm pretty aware of all this, and
it's
fun and interesting too. And and it does make you explore a whole other side of yourself that you haven't explored before. Now, are you going to be doing a show on Voice America?
I've been asked to, and we are in discussions with it. Absolutely,
so people might be able to pick it up from there. Well, Heidi, have you got any more thoughts on the spirituality thing? What's your take on it? You know, I always think this is fun and interesting. So,
I think it's very interesting, and I'm very open to it. And I've seen firsthand with my clients and with many, many people over the last 10 years the healing impact of doing this. And I also want to say that although it's wonderful for us to learn ourselves, sometimes early on in our grief, we really, really need immediate verification that that person is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go to somebody like Mary Louise to help us initially, because we don't have the energy to learn how to do this right at that point, because we're in extreme pain.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
maybe going first, and then you can kind of learn eventually how to do it. But yes, I'm an absolute believer that for many, many people, this can be part of their healing journey.
Well, that's wonderful. But, you know, thank you for that. That's wonderful, and I do believe that as well. I think that everybody is different, and everybody needs different tools, and everybody needs something different. And so we have a variety of ways of getting through to ourselves. You know, just in what I do in my classes alone, I've got 4 or 5 different modalities, and there are a lot of people out there that are wonderful healers or wonderful mediums, and I encourage people to reach out and to get whatever they need. I mean, this is our lives, and it's important, and we should live it with joy and with gusto. And those who are on the other side, they are loving to communicate with us, and they want us to enjoy our lives. They want us to enjoy the physicality and every breath that we can take on this beautiful planet.
Well, isn't that what it's all about? Enjoying
Absolutely.
The life that we do have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And coming back to that, coming home to who we are and the wonderful life that we have. And it's not always easy, but all these things that happen to us actually in life can, once we come home to those ideas, really have wonderful hope and healing. And we really go on to do amazing things for other people, don't you think, Hyde?
Absolutely. I love that final message that Mary Louise is saying, because sometimes we feel so guilty about embracing the lives that we have because of the person that died, and to know that, hey, all of the people that have died out there, Scott and Matthew and everybody else, they want us to embrace our physical lives right now.
Mm-hmm.
That they want us to live the best life that we can.
Absolutely. You know, again, the message that I got before coming on here was this puts pain into understanding. And if we understand from the other side that everything is as it should be, there is a reason for it, and what that reason is, it very much helps us to move on. And I don't want to say move on because that sounds rather trite. But
to live the life we're meant to live.
To live the
fabulous.
Life we're meant to live.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
fabulous.
The guidance I get constantly is that the other side wants to communicate with us as much as we want to communicate with them, and that this is, it's not a door closing. It's a window that's open, and it's free flowing constantly. And so you can go along with a smile on your face, enjoying your life, and know that your loved one is right with you the whole time.
Mary Louise, well, thank you so much for being on the show. Mary Louise Chabon.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you on the show today. Well, we hope that you'll tune into our show again next week, because next week we're going to have Judith Peterson on. She is the executive director of Interregum, a services for loss and life transition, and Andrew Vidich on. He is the author of Light Upon Light, Five Master Paths to the Awakening, the Mindful Self. So listen to us again at 12 Eastern Standard Time for more of the healing. Healing the grieving heart. I hope for a show of hope, renewal, and support. Remember, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Mary Louise, thank you so much for helping people find hope after loss.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.